It's time for JT the Brick.
The main reason why I have the back of the Raider Nation, the main reason why I do this for a living, because of the global disrespect this franchise gets from people who are wrong more than they're right on the radio. The lazy national narrative is the Raiders don't have a quarterback. I mean, really? Yeah, well, the Raiders are one of the worst teams in football. I said, worst teams? They won 8 games.
JT the Brick.
That's why I love you in the Raider Nation. You don't like anything. You're hardcore Raider Nation. You don't like anything until it's proven to you. There are Raider fans in Vegas. There are Raider fans globally. There are season ticket holders, okay? There's a whole bunch of different Raider fans, but we're all one nation. One nation, the Raider Nation. And we're all on the same page. We want to win. That is another unbelievable article on anti-Raider propaganda. The roster's better than last year.
And now,
Big Boy Radio.
Here's JT the Brick.
I always get hyped listening to the intros of the JT the Brick show that Bobby produces fantastically. JT always bringing the energy for you. Me trying to come and match it whenever JT isn't in town, isn't available. Today he's part of the Raiders committee that is traveling all the way to Minnesota. Fortunately, on an August afternoon instead of a late December winter out there, because it's going to be nice weather. It's an indoor stadium. Everything is going to be in fantastic conditions for the silver and black to take the field for the first time in the 2024 preseason. For a lot of folks, including myself, this is going to be the first time that we're going to be seeing the silver and black on a football field in the month of August. Last time I saw them in person was mandatory minicamp when they were out here in Las Vegas. I wasn't part of the folks that were invited out to Southern California. I wasn't going to pay my way out there to go work. So instead, I stayed out here at home and listened to the great reports from folks all over town, listening to Raider Nation Radio, JT and Q and Maida and Vinny. They did a fantastic job holding down the fourth for Raider Nation Radio out there at the Jack Hammond Sports Complex in Southern California in Costa Mesa. Yesterday, a walkthrough for the Raiders that went down on the beach. They were out on the beach doing their walkthrough. That's a good little way to get yourself out of the norm, out of everything that you're doing usually. I saw a couple of folks from the Raiders PR team on their personal social media posting little tiny clips, 2-3 seconds. And I was like, hey, man, that's a great way to finish the bonding, to finish this part of training camp. Because heads up, the Raiders are coming back into town once the Vikings game is done with, and they're going to continue working on their craft with 3 practices next week. 2 at the Intermountain Health Performance Center, 1 at the Allegiant Stadium, August 14th, which, by the way, I went into Raiders.com actually through the app yesterday and saw that there's still some tickets available. So if folks want to go to that open practice on August 14th in the evening, you can still get your free tickets and go check it out. I mean, just to go into Allegiant Stadium, if you want to go on a tour, it costs a pretty penny. If you want to go on a game day, it costs a pretty penny. Heck, if you want to go to the Morgan Wallen concert, which, by the way, I saw that JT's wife was out there yesterday. My girlfriend and I, we're going tonight to the concert. It costs a pretty damn penny to go watch Morgan Wallen, which, by the way, I know, I understand. Whenever an artist goes into X team's stadium, he's always going to wear the jersey, right? Yesterday, he was wearing a Raiders jersey with his name in the back. But just last week, he was out in Kansas City partying at the Chiefs Stadium at Arrowhead with Travis Kelce, with Patrick Mahomes walking out of the locker room into the concert. I was like, man, I don't like that. But hey, you know what? What do I know? And plus, you see artists, I think, who was it, Ludacris or Lil Jon, they performed at halftime for the Raiders last year or a couple of years ago, and you know, you damn well know they're not part of the Raider Nation. They're just wearing it because they're getting, it's a payday, like Canelo says, payday. They're getting their money. So make sure you head out there, Allegiant Stadium. I don't know if there's going to be many opportunities besides these two, August 14th and August 20th, open practices, and you're going to be able to go inside the stadium for free. And heck, you're going to see the team on the field. I don't know how close you'll be able to get to the players, but you're going to see the team on the field, and that's pretty damn cool. So make sure you go out there. I'll be out there, Raider Nation. Hope I'll get a chance or two to meet some of y'all that listen to Raider Nation Radio, that listen to the Spanish radio broadcast, and that's going to be the continuation for the Silver and Blacks training camp, the Silver and Blacks preseason. We got a game tomorrow. Yes, you heard it right. In 24 hours, you're going to be listening to pregame broadcasts right here on this station on Raider Nation Radio, 920 AM, live all the way from Minnesota. JT's actually going to be on the call with this game with Eric Allen and Lincoln Kennedy on the TV side. You're going to get Jason Horowitz, the voice of the Raiders, and also Rich Gannon and Matt Millen. So Fox 5 and Raider Nation Radio, those are the places to stay tuned to the game here locally in Las Vegas. Don't miss it. I mean, personally, I'm excited for a lot of reasons. I mean, when was the last time that we saw pretty much everybody that made the trip be active for a Raiders preseason game? That's what Antonio Pierce said. Why? Because the Silver and Black didn't schedule any joint practices. And I mean, there's a little bit of chaos with that, with not having joint practices, because joint practices, everything is pretty much under control until the fisticuffs come to be, until there's a little slight pushing and shoving and some dummies start throwing helmets at each other. That happened between teammates. How crazy is that? It happened 2 days ago in Seattle. DK Metcalf swinging a helmet at his own teammate. That's pretty dumb. And I'm keeping it PG right here. I know JT would go PG-13 or a little bit more colorful. I try to keep my job because I'm not at the status of JT. But come on, man. How dumb do you have to be to do that? So the Raiders didn't have joint practices, and now they rely on competition with another team with these preseason games. And we know we're going to get a good look at the defense, maybe a series, maybe a couple of plays, but we're going to see the starting defense. We're going to see the starting offense out there on the field, minus Davante Adams, who is still waiting for the birth of his first baby boy. Congratulations to him and his wife. They got two baby girls. Now they're getting the boy on his way as well. So that's going to be pretty cool for the Adams family. But heck, I'm excited just to see the situation with the quarterbacks. Gardner Minshew, Aiden O'Connell. Who's going to be taking the first snap for the Raiders? Because, yes, Antonio Pierce said both of them are playing a quarter in this game. But there's a difference between playing a quarter with your starting offense than playing it with the backup offense, with the twos. It's different playing with the ones than playing with the twos. I personally, if I were a quarterback, I would prefer throwing the football at Brock Bowers and Michael Mayer instead of, with all due respect, Harrison Bryant and Zach Gentry. They are fantastic football players, but you're talking about the youth, you're talking about the future, you're talking about two guys that were selected, one in the first round, one in the second round, and both fellas have a lot of potential to be big-time football players if they decide to do so that way in their career, if they put the effort, if they put the work and go out there and perform on Sundays. Let's see if they're able to do so. So let's see. I mean, Aiden O'Connell, Gardner Minshew, both of them are completely different quarterbacks. You're talking about Aiden O'Connell, which I remember him coming out of college. Somebody in their scouting report said that he had the mobility of a tree. I was like, man, that ain't fair. He moves. He doesn't move much like a Patrick Mahomes or a Josh Allen, but he can move a little bit and try to get the play out. Gardner Minshew, he's a guy that he seems to thrive when it comes to everything breaking down. The play breaks down, he can try to run and make it with his feet to the first down marker and move the chains for his team. Heck, last year, he was one dropped pass away from making it to the playoffs with the Indianapolis Colts. One pass. And you're talking about these two players that took over after an injured quarterback left the field for their teams, Anthony Richardson with Indianapolis, and then over here with Las Vegas, Jimmy Garoppolo, and they got their opportunities to start because of that. And then once Jimmy G came back, he wasn't playing well. Antonio Pierce comes in and he says, Aiden O'Connell is our guy. And he was able to get those games in. 11 games played, 10 as a starter, 5 wins, 5 losses. Over in Indianapolis, Gardner Minshew won 7 games as a starter for Indianapolis. There's a couple of teams out there that wish they had 7 wins in their season. So Gardner Minshew's a player. And one of the positive things about this situation is, hey, you know what? You're going to have the opportunity to show it off in a game. See if the silver and black with these players, yes, it's not going to be against the top dogs, many of the times. You got the games against the Vikings this Saturday, next Saturday here at Allegiant against the Dallas Cowboys, and then after that on a Friday against the San Francisco 49ers. There's a chance you're not going to be facing the best of the best from the other teams because every team manages their preseason a different way. The Silver and Black with Antonio Pierce at the helm, we are seeing completely different train of thoughts than those of John Gruden, than those of Josh McDaniels, and we're going to see some interesting play out of the Raiders. And look, I saw both of the games yesterday, or at least I was switching back and forth between the preseason games that went down yesterday night or afternoon here in Las Vegas at 4 o'clock. It's not very nice football. If you get over 15 points, your offense did a pretty good job. But most of the times, the teams are keeping it vanilla, which is a comment that was pretty got the Raider Nation pissed off from J.J. McCarthy. We'll listen to the soundbite a little bit later on the show, but I'm like, Raider Nation, relax. It's preseason. You're not going to show your weapons to the teams. Both of the teams that faced each other last week in the Pro Football Hall of Fame game, they're going to be playing in the regular season. You think that they're going to show them their playbook, the plays that they're going to be doing, the setups that they have at the line of scrimmage, the way that they are going to line up with their wide receivers and tight ends? No. They got to be smart. You got to go and be physical. At the same time, don't go out there and potentially injure yourself, knock on wood. You want to try to stay healthy as possible for your squad once week one rolls around. In today's show, we got three interviews lined up. And now we're number one. We're going to have all Raiders football. First, Kevin Bollinger from Fox 5 Las Vegas. They're going to have the game live here in our city. He's live out there in Minnesota. We will be talking with him. He was out there at training camp, and we're going to get his point of view of what the Raiders have done so far. It's always a pleasure being able to talk with somebody like Kevin, who is a vet in the Raiders media in the Las Vegas, who was out there in Oakland towards the final years to cover the Silver and Black, making the trips every weekend. So we will be chatting with him. Also, Sean Sattel, one of the new faces in media when it comes to Raiders coverage out here in Las Vegas. He's a veteran when it comes to boxing. There's a boxing card here in Las Vegas this weekend, and we will be connecting with him all the way to the Mandalay Bay ahead of the weigh-ins that start at 1 o'clock. He also was out there in Southern California catching up with the Raiders and also covering the Terrence Crawford fight at BMO Stadium in downtown Los Angeles. It's always a pleasure catching up with him, one of the young rising media members that gets a lot of interactions on social media with his coverage, so we will be chatting with him. And also, in hour number two, we will be talking with Gian Leonardo Neglia. Who is him, you might ask? He is the sporting director for the Las Vegas Lights FC, which, despite not playing at home for over a month, right now they are on a 10-game undefeated streak, and they are playing in Las Vegas tomorrow evening, so we will be catching up with him. They are in a playoff spot at the moment. There's still a lot of season to go down. They got still 2 months to play with this USL Championship season, which goes from March all the way through October. I do their PA announcing during home games, and I'll tell you this. At the beginning of the season, it didn't look nice. It was tough. They were struggling. Now they seem to have caught their stride, and they are in a good position. And heck, Las Vegas, they are a secret that folks probably don't know much about. And you know what? The way they're playing, they deserve your support. And tomorrow's Raiders game is at 1 o'clock. By the time that the Lights game kicks off at 7:30, you'll have plenty of time to head out there to downtown Las Vegas. 11 is my lucky number. Tomorrow they're looking to extend their undefeated streak to 11. I've followed the team since the beginning of the franchise, since it kicked off back in 2018, and this is by far the best season so far for the Las Vegas Lights. Tomorrow, home game 7:30 at Cashman Field. We'll be talking with the sporting director for the Las Vegas Lights to see what's going down with them. And hey, you know what? It's the weekend, so it's a perfect excuse. Like JT says, every Friday, he has his bucket of Modelos. And Modelo is an official cerveza of the Raiders and the official beer of fans with the fighting spirit. Modelo, rooted in the heart of the Raider Nation. Modelo is a proud partner of the JT the Brick Show. I know my buddies over at the Black Hole and at More Tailgates, they got their Modelos ready for next week. They're going to be partying. Even though it's preseason, they're going to start the party early, and they're going to keep on going often. Raider Nation, we're going to go to a quick commercial break, but we got our first guest after it. Kevin Bollinger from Fox 5 Las Vegas will be joining us live all the way from Minnesota. How hyped are you, Raider Nation? Let me know on social media, at Harry Ruiz on Twitter, at Harry _ Ruiz on Instagram. It's game day eve, preseason game day eve, but we'll have the silver and black on the field in a little bit over 24 hours.
Yeah, no, they're doing a good job, man. I like, safeties are vets. Jack's been doing great. Nate, Nickel, super smart, savvy dude. JB on the outside, so fast. It's a great group, man. An awesome challenge every day to go out there against them.
The defense has been doing a fantastic job during Raiders training camp. Now it's time for the offense to get a different look, get different players in front of them, and that's going to be going down tomorrow. Raiders, Vikings at Minnesota. Raider Nation, you'll be able to catch the game live here in Las Vegas on Fox 5, including a pregame show that kicks off half an hour earlier at 12:30. And leading the charge with Fox 5 Vegas is the one and only Kevin Bollinger, who will be on site, who will be ready for the game. And Kevin, I got to ask you, preseason, it feels a little bit different this year because we have not been used to the Raiders using starters during preseason. We saw it a little bit in L.A. against the Rams last year, but not much. What can fans expect from this game?
Yeah, you know, I think it's pre-John Gruden, the last time that we saw starters, a significant amount of starters get playing time. But Antonio Pierce made it very clear, if you're getting on the plane to Minnesota, expect to play. And he goes, that includes Max Crosby and everybody else. So I would imagine that you'll see some players maybe for a little less time than others. But in terms of what everybody else is concerned about, for the most part, which is the quarterback battle, he said that both Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell will get a quarter apiece and, get a chance to do what they have to do. But it's important for them to surround them with starters as they try to evaluate, who's going to be their starting quarterback, A, to protect them, because you want your starting offensive line, obviously, to be out there to help protect quarterback, but also to see how they're doing with the ones and the twos so you can get a better feel. But who's going to be your QB1 when you go to L.A. to take on the Chargers in week one?
Kevin, you were out there in Costa Mesa with the silver and black. Obviously, the reports that I was reading was that the offense wasn't looking good. Do you think that they got higher hopes now that they're going to be facing someone else besides this defense that from week nine going forward last year, they were the best defense when it came to points allowed by their opponents?
Yeah, let's face it. I mean, the Raiders have a solid defense. That's one reason why they aren't doing joint practices this training camp, is because they felt that the offense is going to get tested enough by the Raiders' defense than having to go up against another team's defense. And so I think that the defense certainly has had the upper hand. That's not unusual, as we all know, during off-season workouts, the first part of training camp, especially before the pads come on. But even once the pads came on, the defense certainly outperformed the offense. Again, not surprising. They're in year three of that defense under Patrick Graham compared to the first year under Luke Getsy with the offense. But it's time for the offense to start progressing, to maybe put some of the fears of Raider Nation to bed a little bit. What we do know about this offense, they're going to run the football a lot. They're going to rely heavily on Zamir White. They're going to use those two tight ends that they have, the stud tight ends, and Mayer and Bowers a lot in this offense. And, even the quarterbacks have come out and said, we have got to not turn the ball over. If we have ball control and we run the football and we can kind of hang on our defense to do their job as well, then we're going to be in a lot of football games.
if you are going to be relying on the ground game on your running backs, you need a steady or even strong offensive line. Without Jackson Powers Johnson and without Colton Miller, what have you seen from that unit so far, Kevin?
Well, I mean, there's a little more depth, I think, than we've seen as well in the past few years, and that's what they've been trying to develop, guys that can switch around to different positions. We saw last year how important that was for guys to go left side, right side, or guard and tackle. You know, the one thing the only thing that's set in stone in terms of where people are positioned on this offensive line is Colton Miller's the left tackle and Andre James is the center. And if they have to do interchangeable parts for everything else, then that's what they're going to do. You know, I fully anticipate that Colton Miller will be ready to go by week one. He was getting a lot of work done off to the side during the training camp portion of Costa Mesa. And certainly the Raiders hope that he'll get back into full practices here in the next couple of weeks. But it looked like he was progressing a little bit as well. But if you look at the where the Raiders are depth-wise, they're in a much better situation than they have been in past years. How much is going to be used this year remains to be seen. Obviously, if they can stay healthy like they did a couple of years ago when that offensive line stayed intact a little bit more, they would certainly like that.
Kevin Bollinger, Fox 5 Sports Director, is our guest here right now on the JT The Brick Show. Make sure you catch the pregame show on Fox 5, 12:30 to 1. Kevin, Vince, Paloma, Mariah, I'm pretty sure the whole squad is going to be involved, right, Kevin?
It's a full team effort. Everybody is out there doing stuff for it. We're getting ready to do all kinds of cool stuff. I'm sitting down to go one-on-one with Antonio Pierce. We're going to talk a little bit about the culture that he's brought in and brought back, I guess I should say, with the Raiders. Vince is going to have a great story that's going to explain the new kickoff rules so everybody has a better feel for what they're going to see, because it is much different if anybody's watched any of the preseason games thus far. And then Paloma's going to be talking about these open practices at Allegiant Stadium here over the next couple of weeks, where they're going to let the fans in to do that. So lots of good stuff to get everybody ready for kickoff, but also get ready for the season as well.
I love hearing that, because as a former TV broadcaster in a local market, at times you were lucky to have two members of a sports squad. You guys have four out there in Fox 5 Vegas, and you guys do a fantastic job. You spoke about that story that Vince is going to be sharing in the pregame show with the kickoffs. You've been at pretty much every Raiders session that they've had during the offseason, during the training camp, coming up now with preseason. How impressed are you with the guys that have been used? Because I remember being at OTAs and you would see different players that you wouldn't expect back there catching the football after Daniel Carlson kicked it off.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a work in progress, not just for the Raiders, but for every team. Nobody's going to show anything that they have here in this preseason. I think that until we get to week one of the regular season, then we'll get a better feel for how teams are going to approach this whole kickoff thing from both the kicking and the receiving end of doing things. And so there's a lot of unknown factors going into this, and I think that it's going to change and evolve as the season goes along. So the Raiders, I think, are just going to, you know, try and get a bunch of different people ready and try and figure out what works best. And it might take several weeks into the season to do that, and they might mix it up all season long. It's really the big unknown factor of the NFL season for every team, and it'll be interesting to see how much it's going to impact games as we go through, because on paper, it looks like it's set up to maybe get some bigger returns, better field position, maybe some balls returned for touchdowns. We haven't seen that as much yet, but it looks like it's setting up to do that. So how it's going to play out remains to be seen, and I think it's going to be tweaked and adjusted by everybody, but it's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, yesterday my girlfriend and I were watching the Lions and Giants game, and I was trying to explain to her the kickoff rule. The game started, and the ball was returned exactly to the 25-yard line, and then they brought up the stat that pretty much the average return during the Hall of Fame game was the 25, 26-yard line. So there's no changes so far there, but I loved your explanation. It's like, hey, they're not going to be showing off their weapons right now in the preseason, and that's pretty much how it should be. Remember also J.J. McCarthy bringing up the vanilla term? I don't think he was talking about the Raiders' defense. He was just talking about defenses in the preseason. They're not going to show up and show out the way that they will during the regular season.
And same with the offenses, right? I don't think we'll get a full look at what Luke Getsy's offense is going to look like with the Raiders, because there are going to be some wrinkles that are going to be different from when he was in Chicago. But they're not going to tip their hand on a whole lot here during the preseason. All those things kind of come in week one. But we will see the base part of the offense, and we'll see those two guys trying to run it. And we'll see if we can get some separation in this quarterback battle, because there has not been any separation as of yet, to kind of see if somebody's going to jump ahead here and take a stranglehold of this job.
Kevin Bollinger, Fox 5 Sports Director, is our guest. My last question, Kevin, in previous preseasons, like last year, we had Christian Wilkerson, that he just had great performances, ended up being on the 53. But then you go back a couple of years, and Trey Regis, the running back, he had a fantastic preseason. He got cut. Is there someone that, so far from what you've seen from Raiders training camp, you're keeping your eye on to see if he performs during a game and potentially being able to get himself a roster spot?
Well, I don't know if it's necessarily a roster spot, but I'm sure everybody in Raider Nation has heard all the buzz about Dylan Lave, just because of the things that he can do, both special teams and out of the backfield. I'm interested to see that translate into a game situation. And to be honest with you, and again, not a roster spot person, but Trey Tucker transformed himself in this offseason. He bulked up with a lot more muscle, but still has the speed there. I kind of want to get a feel and look for what he's got out there as well, because they're going to probably ask a lot of him during this year. And then, the other thing that stands out, and again, this is not a stretch or somebody trying to make the squad, but I want to see what they're going to do with both tight ends, with Brock Bowers and Michael Mayer, and see some of the things that dynamic things that they can do. Whether they show that off in the preseason, I don't know, but those are two big workhorses for the Raiders, and with an offensive line that's a little beat up right now, they're going to rely on them.
12 personnel. We're going to be seeing a lot of it coming up from the Silver and Black. Kevin, thank you so much. Folks, don't forget tomorrow, Fox 5 Vegas, a pregame show, 30 minutes, 12:30 to 1 p.m., produced by the squad with the sports team out there in Fox 5. Thank you so much for joining me today, and best of luck tomorrow, Kevin.
All right, anytime. Thank you, Harry.
There he goes, Kevin Bollinger, the Fox 5 Sports Director. They got a great squad, a squad that I respect very much for the work that they do out here in Las Vegas. 702-365-9200 is the phone line for you, Raider Nation, to call in, to give your takes, to tell me what's on your mind. We got the Raiders taking the field tomorrow. So I know that you are excited. I know that some of you may be anxious. Some of you may be nervous. I don't know what's in your mind. I want to know. So call me, 702-365-9200. We got the first caller of the day, Mitch from New Jersey. Every time I'm on the air, he shoots me a call, so I appreciate that. Mitch, what's on your mind, my friend?
How's it going, Harry? Always a pleasure to talk to you.
Always a pleasure to talk to you, too. How excited are you for tomorrow's game?
Hope I can get on TV, but I'll read the box score. It's always interesting to see all these players, and I'll allow them, you won't see them. Maybe practice squad. And we seem to have three number two quarterbacks, so I'm already looking ahead at who's going to be quarterback next year. But we have a good defense. I love the tight ends. I don't expect them to play because, I think it should be one game only. That'd be the best. It's just about money, Brad. They could have signed Sam Darnold. I would have been happier over these two quarterbacks, but that's just me.
Hey, we're going to be facing him tomorrow, so let's see who ends up performing better out of those three.
Right, because I think all three have something to prove. And I see even Anthony Brown, he plays some Pac-12 too, Anthony Brown. But the Titans are great, and I just hope nobody gets hurt.
Hey, that's the most important part. Thank you, Mitch. Say hello to the grandson. Hope everything is going great out in New Jersey. He brought up Anthony Brown, and I'm actually excited for that, because during the portions of the OTAs that we were able to catch as members of the media, he has a great arm. He's powerful. He just needs to be effective and be error-free and try to earn his spot that way, because Carter Bradley, Anthony Brown, there's going to be a QB3 out of one of those two guys. Neither of them has played a regular season game in the NFL. Carter's a rookie. Anthony was part of practice squads last year. Let's see if the silver and black end up getting a diamond in the rough out of one of these two guys. And somebody that went from diamond in the rough to a superstar is Chris Young, who will be bringing his latest hits to Resorts World Las Vegas tomorrow. Grab your tickets now to experience his Young Love and Saturday Night's tour. Chris Young blends classic country music with a modern twist. Get your tickets now at rwlasvegas.com. The JT The Brick Show is a proud partner of Resorts World Las Vegas. It's country weekend in Sin City. Yesterday, the Aviators had their country night. Today, Morgan Wallen at Allegiant Stadium. Tomorrow, Chris Young at Resorts World. Let's go to a break, Raider Nation. After it, Sean Sintel from Vegas Sports Daily will be joining us here on the JT The Brick Show.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed it so far. It's a lot different than what I did last year. But obviously this tree is, you know, successful around the NFL. And so it's been fun to hear him. And, you know, during OTAs, it was kind of just install as much as possible and kind of go out there and figure out. But now we're seeing these plays for the second, third time. And so it's been cool to see, you know, his ideas, him pull up clips from past teams and situations about how they've succeeded. And so it's a super fun part to get to learn that part of it.
The offense wants to seek and destroy their opponents, but to do that, they got to learn this offense that Luke Getsy is bringing to the Raider Nation, that is bringing to the Silver and Black, and that everybody's going to be new to it, except Devontae Adams, who had experience with Getsy when he was in Green Bay. And he mentioned during his press conference during OTAs, is like, hey, I know a lot of the basics. I know a lot of the stuff that comes with it. And even remembering some of the wording and the vocabulary that was used by his now offensive coordinator. So that's positive for Devontae Adams. But in the quarterback competition, both guys, the playbook, it's brand new for them. So let's see if these two guys end up differentiating from each other, because we know that their styles are different. Their styles are those of an old school quarterback and a new school quarterback, that they are not right now positioned the way that some quarterbacks coming out in their second year, like Patrick Mahomes was when he came to second season after sitting in the bench for most of the year with Kansas City behind Alex Smith, and then took over the second season in a prime spot. Aiden O'Connell isn't in the same spot. Yes, he played a lot, but he is not the same kind of QB that Mahomes is. Same thing with Minshew. He is a veteran that if he was the guy that everybody would be salivating over, which is going to be the case for Dak Prescott next year in Dallas, well, that situation is going to be completely different. Prescott, he's going to get bank. He's going to break records when it comes to signing his contract. Minshew, he signed a good contract for a quarterback, but not one that is going to leave people like going like, wow, how much did he get paid? Let's see. Sean Sintel from Vegas Sports Daily is joining us now live from the Mandalay Bay, where he is covering the weigh-in for tomorrow's boxing card. Tomorrow's going to be a busy day for Las Vegas sports, and Sean Sintel does a fantastic job covering boxing, which is how I found out about him, following him on social media, and now covering the Raiders as well, both of them at the same time. Sean, how are you? How was that trip to Southern California, Costa Mesa? How was training camp for you and the experience covering it down there?
Hey, what's up, Harry? Thanks for having me again. Trip was great. It was great to see the Raiders. Great to, you know, I grew up watching NFL films and the sights and sounds of guys like Bill Parcells at training camp. So to see the real thing up close was great. And, you know, I observed the best I could. I was out there for the first 3 days of camp and then was able to make it out there sporadically here and there after that, when I had to get back to Vegas, driving back and forth from L.A. and Vegas for all kinds of boxing. There was fights going on in L.A. Canelo Alvarez had a presser. But I made it down to Costa Mesa as often as I could, about five or six times during training camp. So great experience. Definitely got a nice California sunburn. And it's weird, Harry. I don't know why Vegas could get up to 120 degrees, but you could never catch a sunburn like you can in the 80-degree weather of L.A. So Southern California area. So very good. Good stuff.
I've seen your videos on Twitter where you go out and run in 120-degree weather and you're wearing a hoodie. Maybe that's why, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I couldn't tell you why, but go out to L.A., you get the best tan ever. So, but it was good, man. What do we got? What's in store for this talk today, Harry?
So, obviously, the hot topic is the quarterback situation. Sean, from what you were able to see, I mean, we still don't know who is starting tomorrow. We just know that both of them will be playing a quarter in that game against Minnesota. From your personal experience watching them out there on the field, do you see them staying in the same level that they were in OTAs? Did you see them take a step forward? Did you see them take a step back? Have you seen one be ahead of the other so far?
Yeah, well, I remember we talked about it back in June, and I said Aiden looked better in OTAs. But Gardner Minshew, about a week into training camp, he was able to catch his stride and start to look comfortable, a little more comfortable in Luke Getsy's offense. He began to extend plays a little bit and do some of the things that Aiden O'Connell can't do with his legs and extending plays, getting out of the pocket. But he still there was still no real separation. It was more, you know, Gardner Minshew starting to catch his stride a little bit. But, you know, guys like, you know, Paul Gutierrez on the last day of training camp, they asked Antonio Pierce any separation. Do we have an answer? And all he said was status quo. So, you know, take it from the head coach. There wasn't a big enough. I don't know if Gardner Minshew closed the gap, but I don't know if he closed the gap enough to take away the first reps. And, we'll find out against the Vikings. But I don't know if he did enough to overtake Aiden O'Connell's position. And really for me, that quarterback competition, I think the Raiders have to heavily consider what do they really have with their offensive line. Because Colton Miller and Jackson Powers Johnson hardly got, I mean, I don't think they got to do any of training camp, but Jackson Powers Johnson, the second round rookie guard, he looked like a player in OTAs. Just, you know, you can't take too much away from OTAs. They don't even have pads on yet. But he just looked good in their drills and taking reps. And, you know, I like his temperament, too. I think if the kid is healthy, if the rookie is healthy, he's going to contribute day one on that offensive line. And then Colton Miller was voted one of the best left tackles last year, despite battling injuries, still considered one of the best left tackles in the game in the NFL. If the Raiders are confident they can create consistent, clean pockets to really give Aiden time to throw, then I give the edge to Aiden O'Connell. I think he operates with a little bit better on timing routes, he could get rid of the ball quickly, and he's accurate when given time. Now, he can't extend plays at all like Gardner Minshew, so if the Raiders don't think, if they think they have a more middling offensive line, closer to average than good or, you know, upper tier, then they might have to go with Gardner Minshew because they're going to need a guy to give them an extra second or two on a regular basis to create plays down the field.
Sean Sattel from Vegas Sports Daily is our guest here right now. Sean, when you talk about that offensive line, you already mentioned two names that are expected to be on the left side when it comes to Colton Miller and Jackson Powers Johnson. You got, of course, Andre James, Dylan Parham, but that right tackle position, I was impressed when I heard that DJ Glaze, the rookie out of Maryland, the third rounder, when he stepped up for Thayer Mumford when he suffered an injury, he actually looked pretty damn good. Do you expect DJ Glaze to be now, instead of being a Thayer Mumford, this is your job, to now it's like, hey, it's a competition out there?
Ooh, that's tough to say if he gets the start over the vet, if Thayer's actually prepared and ready to go. DJ Glaze really did get thrown into the fire. Most of his reps came against Max Crosby on the right side of the line. So talk about getting thrown into the fire. I think, because Mumford looked good before going down with injury too. So, you know, I suspect they might. Here's the thing. If Glaze has to play in place of Mumford, I don't think the Raiders are going to feel like they're going to lose much. And if anything, you know, they might be happy about that because it gets their kid with some upside, their rookie, it gets him some playing time to develop into their starting right tackle. But I'm still not sure he gets the start over Thayer Mumford, guy with more experience who didn't look bad himself in camp before he had to go down. But Glaze definitely looks serviceable. Like, you're not going to have too much of a drop-off, you know, if at all, if you got to start him early in the season or whenever.
Of course. And when you talk about preseason, you know that you're not going to see the teams roll out everything that they have on their offense, on their defense, on their special teams. They're more than likely going to try to keep it a secret for most of it. But what do you want to see from the Raiders, or what are you expecting to see from the Silver and Black in this game?
I just think this all eyes, I mean, this isn't anything new in the NFL in these situations, but all eyes are just going to be on the quarterback, because and on the defensive side, I think Tyree Wilson, and I think people will want to see what we get out of Brock Bowers. You know, these guys aren't going to play very long, the starters, but I think if Brock Bowers, you know, the Raider Nation is probably looking for Brock Bowers to have a splash play in one of these preseason games, give them something to, you know, tantalize them a little bit. So I think all eyes will be on Brock Bowers. I think Tyree Wilson, I think people want to see, can he show something in the preseason? Luckily for Tyree, because he's developed a little bit of versatility where he could play inside or outside, he could kind of play with a different arrangement of lineups when you know, they want to put Adam Butler in the end and Malcolm Kuntz in the end. He could play in the middle. When Christian Wilkins needs to be spelled for a few plays, he could play in the middle. The rare play, well, Crosby takes those plays off, but whoever's opposite Crosby, he could fill in. But I think they'll be looking for Tyree in year two, Jakorian Bennett, Trey Tucker. I think outside of the quarterbacks, a lot of the eyes are going to be on the second year guys, and Jakorian Bennett, Trey Tucker, Tyree Wilson. And then I think we're going to want to see something out of Brock Bowers. But at the end of the day, it's going to come down to who looks better, Gardner Minshew or Aiden O'Connell.
Yeah, and you know what? Just being able to have heard Antonio Pierce said that whoever makes the trip is going to play, that has me excited, because as Raider fans, or somebody that now broadcasts the Raiders, I'm not used to seeing the starters during the preseason. And it might be just 7-8 plays, but it's better than nothing. So seeing the guys in the pads, that's going to make a big difference. Sean Sattel is our guest here right now on Raider Nation Radio. Sean from Vegas Sports Today, and also his YouTube channel, where he does a fantastic job covering boxing. YouTube.com/@ Sean Sattel. Sean, boxing card in Las Vegas this weekend. That means a lot of content coming out. Heck, you were out there in L.A. with the Canelo press conference. Now Virgil Ortiz is fighting here in Las Vegas tomorrow. What's going on in boxing? Because Terrence Crawford fought last week as well. It's a busy time for this sport.
Oof. Well, just before I get to that, I'll just say for Raider fans, a last word on that. Another guy to be looking out for is DeCamrion Richardson, who alongside Jakorian Bennett, they both look good in camp, to where heading into camp, that second corner spot, CB2, you knew you had Nate Hobbs in the slot. You have high hopes for Jack Jones starting at that first corner position. But I had questions heading into camp about CB2, and I think Jakorian Bennett had a really strong camp. And then the rookie, DeCamrion Richardson, 6'3", 4'3", 40 time, long arms, has a lot of good measurables. So we'll see there. Defense, just period, looks great.
Oh, yeah.
All the questions are on the offensive side of the ball. But to move on to the boxing, man, a lot is going on inside and outside the ring. Canelo, Edgar Berlanga is a huge underdog, but he's earning his check so far, because he's selling his fight. He antagonized Canelo. He got Canelo to pop off with cursing and colorful quotes. And what Berlanga really needs to do to make his fight sell with Canelo, I think you'll attest to this, Harry, is antagonize the Mexican fans. Play into that Mexico versus Puerto Rico rivalry, but don't be a gentleman like Jaime Munguia. That's not how this fight gets sold. He has to continue to talk a lot of trash, even though nobody thinks he's realistically going to win the fight. And then on fight night, another way he could earn his check. I mean, anything's possible. He's young and undefeated and does punch hard. Does Edgar Berlanga, undefeated from Brooklyn. But he's been hurt and dropped by, you know, fighters who aren't even world champions. And Canelo's arguably the greatest fighter of his era. And, you know, of course, everybody wants to see Canelo fight Benavidez. But if Berlanga comes forward and tries to press Canelo and impose his youth, his size, his power, I think he gets knocked out. But I think it's very fun to watch. And on top of him promoting the fight well, you'll have a lot of people saying, hey, you know, this isn't the fight I wanted. I want Canelo Benavidez. But, hey, I had fun. I had fun watching Canelo shut that kid up from Brooklyn who talked a big game. So that's what's going on with Canelo. But outside the ring, Harry, you know, Terrence Crawford fought in Los Angeles. And it was promoted by what's called Riyadh season, you know, Saudi Arabian Sports Authority, and they've merged with the PGA. They're buying up a lot of sports in the United States. And to me, it's kind of controversial because, you know, American boxing did this to itself, Harry. All the promoters not always wanting to match the best fights, a lot of ego, a lot of greed, a lot of pettiness between the power brokers in American boxing. And as boxing has continued to be a niche sport in America the last 30 years or so, now it sets up a position for a guy like Turki Alashik to come in and throw fighters big wads of money that they aren't, in fact, earning at the box office. Terrence Crawford, for example, great fighter, arguably the best fighter pound for pound, if not top three. But not a lot of those the fight was labeled a sellout. I was there. It wasn't a sellout. Many of those tickets.
It was a good
crowd,
though.
It was a great crowd, and it was a really good night of fights. You had Pitbull Cruz losing an upset to Ryo Valenzuela. You had the number one prospect in American heavyweight boxing get knocked out by Martin Bacoli from the Congo. So the inside the ring action was fine, Harry. It was very good, and it was cool to see boxing, you know, in a football. So it's a soccer stadium, but, you know, a football-like stadium. But at the same time, I don't know how sustainable this is for the sport long term. You can't just depend on, let's just call it, a sugar daddy for a long term sustainable development for boxing. And this is this gives a false sense of security, because rather than the American power brokers having to acknowledge the flaws they've made to continue to, you know, relegate boxing to niche status, they now kind of get bailout money from Turki Alashik. So Canelo's not going for it because Canelo, Harry, is a guy that sells in America. He doesn't need to be bought out and get overpaid. He can eat what he kills. In other words, you know, take home what in fact he actually sells it on pay-per-view, sells ticket-wise, and make $50, $60 million. He will against Berlanga. So
hey, he could, you know, take 100, though. So, but he's not going to do it. Sean, we're running out of time, my brother. I really appreciate you. Make sure you guys follow Sean on YouTube, on Twitter. He does a fantastic job covering boxing and the Raiders. Sean, thank you so much, my brother.
Thanks, Harry.
There he goes. He's covering the Virgil Ortiz fight this weekend as well. We are now going to a commercial break. Coming up in hour number two, Raider Nation, I want to hear from you. 702-365-9200. Shout out as well to Charles Woodson and his legendary Woodson Bourbon Whiskey. Go to WoodsonWhiskey.com for yours. It's also available in over 40 Las Vegas grocery and fine liquor stores. Let's go to a break, Raider Nation. We're coming right back to kick off hour number two of today's JT the Brick Show.